Salutations, salamanders. It's your boy Dave here, back with another... Okay,
no, I'm not going to do that. Hi, we're back. Grant's here. I mean, he's not here. He will be momentarily with past Dave, future Dave for you. But we had a great episode today. It's pilot season. I don't know if you were aware. Thankfully, I didn't do any of the work for it. Grant did, but we'll get to that in a moment. Okay, what did we cover today? Grant finally saw Dune 2, so we open the show up and we go over his, briefly, because we've talked about Dune, but we go over his thoughts. He's also read the books and stuff. He is a little bit more familiar with Dune than I am, so we talked about what he thought about it. Then we talk Mushoku Tensei. They just premiered their second core of Season 2, because that's what shows do now. So we talked about that, and then we get into pilot season. I think Grant reviews briefly, like you can see how long the episode is. To varying degrees, he reviews 8 shows that just started. I'm not going to list them all, because that would require more than one take, and I don't do more than one take for these, okay? But you can see in the show notes all the shows that he reviewed, and then we cover some news, and it's exciting. So with that, enjoy the show.
Salutations, Grant.
Hello, Muad'Dib.
Tell me, how are you?
I am quite good. How are you? It's a beautiful day. It's hard to have a bad day with weather this nice.
It is. Isn't it funny how people are like, I don't know if there's a correlation between happiness and vitamin D, and then like you go outside when it's sunny and you're like, oh, it's funny how everything's okay now.
Yeah.
I took a walk after work today, dude.
There you go.
I was chipper, dude. I was skipping.
Yeah, man.
I was skipping.
That nice, that good old Canadian hot spring sun with a cool wintry breeze still kicking around.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, fall and spring are the best times of the year in Canada, for sure.
At least in our
part of Canada.
Yeah, we only get, like a baker's dozen of those days. up here in the north.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's nice, man. It's nice. The weather is turning. It wasn't inches. I'm trying to think. Did we get like 20 centimeters of snow? I don't know what. Nine days ago?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was truly horrendous.
Now it's...
awful road conditions.
20 degrees Celsius. Yeah. I think that day there was something like 57 car accidents in Ottawa.
I was on the road that day, and I counted 21 cars in the ditch. Watched 2 of them go into the ditch.
That's crazy.
It was, I don't understand how there's not, our whole nation is kind of built on the fact of, we drive in it.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, there's just sometimes we're like, can we just not call, a state of emergency, on a day, and just, keep everyone safe? But
do you think a lot of these people got caught with the winter tires having just come off, because they got a little too excited?
If I'm being honest, I think nowadays people are procrastinate way too much, and also our winters have a bit of a tail on them, so I would say most people usually keep them on until, the end of April, beginning of May, or you can just be an all-seasons person, but still, yeah, I don't know, it's weird.
Just a bunch of negligent drivers, dude.
Yeah, man. That's crazy. I know in Quebec, they enforce, you can't even have all-seasons there, it has to be...
Oh, really?
In the wintertime, if you're caught without winter tires, or if you have Quebec plates and you have all seasons, there's a pretty hefty fine. It has to be winter tires.
So that's how they do it in the outside country.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Anyway, so we'll get into that. Dave, speaking of which, all this beautiful weather, I spent pretty much all of my weekend and the past couple of days inside in a movie theater and my living room watching anime and great sci-fi epics. We got a lot to talk about today. I'm super excited. We were talking just before we started recording. There's so many good premieres this spring, and I can't wait to get into those later.
Well, very good then, sir. Perhaps we should start on some common ground, shall we?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's start with the 1,000-pound gorilla. Let's start with Dune, because you haven't had a chance to talk about it. You hadn't seen it till this weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
Bit of news on that, actually. I saw it just before we hit record. You saw it just in time, because it's going to digital April 16th, and then DVD and Blu-ray May 14th.
I saw it's getting, its IMAX run is also getting extended.
Yeah, it's interesting that they're doing that. Yeah. You don't usually see them extend the run and release digital simultaneously. Or maybe you do and I just don't pay attention.
Well, because that's the thing. The reason I was so hot and horny to see it this weekend is because the IMAX run was ending this week. There was like a date for it. I could see like, you know, the like our local IMAX theaters, the you know, like the post-dated or the future screenings, the IMAX was just gone. The only one was this, I think Monday was the last one.
That's good that you caught it then.
So I was like, you know, like really pushing to go and everything kind of fell into place. It was good. And then today, like they announced like, oh yeah, it's being extended by like 2 more months. And it's like, fuck. Like, but anyways, I still enjoyed myself. But what a movie, Dave. Awesome. Like I would really like to go see it again. At least this time I don't need to see it in IMAX and just try and see it local if I can. But I got Dune on the mind. I started reading the book on my lunch today just to kind of get back in the world. It's hooked me good.
They accomplished some really, really great world building and some hella good payoff in this in this movie.
It's because we were talking on Saturday, like I really, really like how the through line from the first movie is still there. Like the movie feels like the book. Like there is a lot of changes in this and that. We don't need to get into the minutiae, but there is that very Dune through line. But this movie has enough of an identity from the first one that it can kind of be its own. I know a lot of people are kind of going around saying this is like, you know, like it's the two towers of like the Dune, you know, and like what, you know, what more is to come. Like the first book is a wrap. Like I think this part of the story is kind of like really kind of well taken care of. And I think Denise should be proud because it's so, you know, I've told you before, it's so dense. There's so much to do. Like, you know, you and I honestly could talk for an hour. Like we could waste the whole podcast just talking about Dune and Dune 2 and like, you know, what's to come and you know what he did right and what he, you know, I kind of missed. And, but I don't know, just, fucking what a blast. And IMAX, man, so clear. We were talking about that too. I couldn't get over how clear the screen was.
Yeah, I remember saying that. It's
the last IMAX movie I saw would have been the first Dune.
It is. It does feel like, I don't want to call it a rare W in movies because like people make great movies all the time, but I feel like with these giant adaptations that go to the big screen and have like this intense fan base, I think it's hard to like make a movie that is like kind of universally appreciated and loved and everyone kind of agrees like, hey, like he kind of fucking nailed this. Like, of course, there are always going to be nitpicks, right?
Yep.
Sure. And there's always going to be like your 1 out of 100 or 1,000 person who's like, oh, he completely did it wrong. But you know what I mean? But, like in general. The point. Exactly. But it's like in general, I remember when the reviews came out, it's like everyone with like across the board was like, yeah, no, they fucking nailed it. Yeah. And, like, that just doesn't really happen. You know what I mean? Like, not nowadays, not with, like, how intense fandom and toxic fandoms can be, of depending on the subject matter. But, yeah, really good. And even, like, I remember saying to you, like, I was really curious about Timothée Chalamet. You cannot get away from this kid right now. No. Which is fine. You know, he's, like, having his moment. Mm-hmm. But my thought was, like, I've never actually seen him act like really act in like a big role, and I was like, you know, if he doesn't really like meet expectation and like pull his end in this movie or pull his own weight, like then it's kind of gonna fall apart because he's quite literally like the messiah, the central figure of the story.
Yes.
And if he doesn't do a good job, this is gonna blow. Mm-hmm. And I thought he did a quite serviceable job. I was impressed with his performance.
I really like, because you know, like in the book, again, like, you know, like written literature, like it's a little easier to kind of pace that out and like a change of character kind of, it flows a little more. And that, I think that was like my biggest worry with this is like the turn, like when he kind of gives in to the prophecy and kind of, you know, like to, you know, post like, you know, the water life and all that. And like the change, even though like slightly abrupt, but like, you know, for the confinements of like the 2 and almost 3 hour movie, right? Like I just think they really kind of, he nailed it and like he, you know, became the messiah, right? Like, you know, like the thing that he was trying so hard to not to be. And so when the, you know, when the switch was flicked, like it felt very genuine of like, oh, like we're good, like we got it, you know.
I
you
totally know? Agree, like as a guy who didn't read the books, I get what you're saying. I can picture, you know the benefit of the book is you can kind of build to it, it can kind of happen a little bit more gradually. Mm-hmm. But like it was just by the time they got to that moment, it was so well set up. They had done so much foreshadowing, so much kind of leading the audience down that road that, like, when he did flip the switch, like he said. Like, it was like, I get why he's doing it. I understand. And you just had to, like, kind of watch and be like, okay, this is pretty dope, though.
Yeah, I will say, like, you know, I think I love his movies. I think you and I share that. Like, you and I are huge Denis Villeneuve fans. You know,
yeah,
like, homegrown
time.
There. And, like, you know, like, he's, I'm so hooked on this movie right now and thinking, I think I might just do the rewatch of all his movies. Like, I have most of them, you know, on fucking Blu-ray. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I was thinking, again, I've been listening to podcasts today and yesterday, and, like, you know, like, I got Sicario on the mind. I got Blade. If anything, Blade Runner is the one that sticks out the most.
Maybe I could rewatch Blade Runner any day.
I would love to do a Blade Runner rewatch with you. That'd be really, really fun.
Rent out the movie room in my building.
Ooh, that's a good idea. We should do that. But, yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, I think, because I know he's not, I think it is official. There is going to be a third one, but he's going to do something in between.
Yes, they did confirm. I was saying that to you on the weekend for the record and for the audience's record. Like, it's official that, quote, Dune 3 in production at Legendary Pictures. But, like, they gave no information other than the fact that it's, quote, in development.
Yeah, I imagine everyone's, like, kind of locked in for potentially, like, four or five of these things. Like, if, you know, I'm sure they kind of future-proof themselves. But, yeah, man, Dune 2, if you haven't seen it, I think they're saying it's going to, right now it's saying, what, 670 million worldwide?
Isn't it crazy how that feels fucking low? Like, I know it's a huge number. Well,
the first one did 450, I read today.
Yeah.
But that was also, like, the height of COVID, too, right? Like, it's, so, but,
it's just, like, this should be a billion-dollar movie. And, like, you don't say that often. But you know what I mean? I just feel like it should be even bigger than it is. I hope it does really well.
Regardless of how well made it is and how big its moment is, and you know, it is kind of riding a little bit of Oppenheimer and Barbie, you know, like from the summer.
Hangover.
Fatigue involved, but it is like kind of a tough hang, you know? It's like I heard a couple of really good points, like, you know, on the big picture they're talking about, like, at the end of the day, the nice thing about this one, I think Sean was saying, like, you know, there's enough, like, spectacle, more so than the first movie, that it's, like, you can kind of, I think his words were, like, you can kind of yada yada a lot of the plot, and you get to, like, the big set pieces and just kind of enjoy it for what it is. But I don't know, I really, really like this. It's, there was something about seeing this weekend. I'm literally looking up all the movie times of the movies that I want to see. Like, I have to get back in the theater. I have to see these movies in theater. You know, it's, I don't know, man.
Power That's a good point. It's definitely one of those movies that makes you love the theater all over again. You're like, oh, this one. We're supposed to watch stuff here.
It has the quiet stuff. It has the spectacle. It has, you know, like, just the cinematography. The score, dude. Oh, my God. The score.
Unreal.
Unreal. Hans. Dude, I will say, the memes kind of ruined. Like, you know, like, the clip of, like the female singer that kind of cuts in and, like, like a notable moment. That's been, like, memed to death, like, the months leading up to the movie, and especially the past month since it came out. And, like, there's something pretty critical scene. And I remember there's one specifically with the mother, like, Jessica Ferguson's character, and Leanna kind of just, like, turned and looked to each other, and, like, that scene, like, the air was just blown out of that scene. Like, it was hard to take it seriously, because it's just, you know, picture every fucking video you've seen online.
But I guess by the time you had seen that, it was pretty played out.
Yeah,
that's fair. I can see that. Yeah. Okay, well, let's go from highs to lows. That was Dune 2. Let's talk about Mushoku Tensei.
Whoa, lows.
I just But they came back with their second core of season 2. So it's technically season 2, episode 13.
Yep.
I watched it yesterday.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I'm not going to shit all over it. I was just playing. It is interesting that I think for me, Mushoku had like a pretty unique tone to it because I hadn't seen a lot of fantasy in general.
Sure.
But like, if you think about what we've been watching the last 6 months, like, dude, I'm juggling, like, we just came off Frieren.
Yep.
And then Solo Leveling just finished.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a few episodes out from finishing Shangri-La Frontier. So like, I'm like very much in the whole fantasy. You're
full. You got a belly full right now.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, I feel much more like in like lockstep with this show right now than I have in the past. Just in that, like, okay, like, this familiar, I know this show. I will say, I don't know if you did, but to the audience too, like, they literally pick up as though there wasn't a break. So I recommend watching a recap if you know if you feel like it, if you don't remember season 2 entirely.
not to throw, you know, like maybe a little bit of a punch there, but like there was also not enough in the first part to like, you know, have to remember. For me personally, it was kind of like, oh yeah, okay, you know, it's just, I don't know, like there, like stuff happened and there, you know, new character introductions and I still feel the hangover of like this side mission that we kind of was essentially all of part one. Nothing feels like part two-ish. Like nothing feels like new arc about this.
I mean,
we're still kind of treading the same water we were before. So I'm waiting for it to. I think I need a change of scenery and
New setting.
We need some movement.
I think, you know, if we had to sum up part one of season two, it's like Rudeus goes to this magic school, meets Sylphie. They dick around for most of the season, concealing their identities, or Sylphie's identity. So, like, a notable amount of time passes.
Yeah.
Like, years pass, Rudeus ages. He meets this girl who's also been isekai'd.
Yep.
I can't remember her name. He gets an apprentice or two.
Yeah.
For stupid show reasons. And then, like,
a demon guy was there. Remember, he showed up, the four-armed...
Yes. Demon there. King guy. Not to be confused with the Demon
sister.
King of Freerun.
The sister of, or the sister or the father of the god that gave him the eye. I think that was
the setup
for that.
Or husband.
Or yeah, father. Maybe. Yeah.
But a related demon, shows up. And then, you know, and Rudeus also has, a bit of a rep at this stage. Because he has, traveled from town to town, done enough quests. He's, a legit mage. And then, they spend... 60% of season two focused on his erectile dysfunction thing. We were critical about that at the time. I'm not going to rehash that whole thing. That shit was fucking exhausting. But he overcomes it by the end of season two. He proposes to Sylphie. And now here we are. And then we kind of come right off that. And he starts rehashing all of it. And I was oh, right. This stupid fucking storyline. And then he's talking about Sylphie helped me through it. And I'm like, I get it. Let's move on. I don't want to go to bed angry. You know what I mean? I just want to enjoy the show. Let's get on a fucking quest. And we did. You know, it becomes about okay, I'm engaged.
It's the best part of the episode. They got away from the school. He's got a couple of his buddies. It's a bit of a mystery. You're not exactly stretching. It's not, it's not anything crazy, but it was again, a small change of scenery.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the kind of the D, it was very D&D-esque. It was it's my favorite parts of the show when they're out doing stuff, not just sitting in their feelings. I watch shows for that and I don't really, Mashogo's not doing that for me for this. But anyways.
It was fun though, right? Horror mystery.
Yeah. Yeah. I really dug that, finding the secret treasure room and there's a mystery to unsolve with the doll. And
also
the bits were silly, but it was very I don't know, I everything with the house, it was really
cool. Agreed. And it was also cool to see Rudeus be kind of the head honcho in that moment, because he's technically the most experienced adventurer out of those people.
Reminding the audience and his friends to we're good, I'm an A-rank adventurer.
Exactly. I'm actually good at shit. And I'm not just solely focused on my ED. Also he bought that house and really did a number on renovating it, so
magic.
Yeah, magic. I mean, that's a magic because the plot needs it kind of thing. And also
talking about yada yada, which was perfectly. I did not want to get into a whole
agreed.
We got to move funds around to get the roof done and this and that. But there's little nice stuff the roof's green because it reminds me of your old hair. And I was
sure.
He's not. But I know it's a minor thing. And I think I do find Mashoko excels in these little moments of just these little, blink and you miss it moments. But when he's looking through the catalog and you get a reminder, he is he was himself, right? Obviously he's grew up in this life, but he was a person in the real world. And he was clueless on how that thing, the whole idea of him buying a house was just so foreign to him, regardless of the setting, even in the real, he was just so much of a shut-in and all this and that. It was kind of funny to see the original character kind of bleed through in a moment.
I see what you mean. Yeah, no, that's
because normally it's sometimes it's in teenage brain still.
Yeah,
The way he kind of talks, it feels more like Rudeus than who he, or he still is that person, but the previous life kind of stuff. It was kind
I really
of
like the little, narrator's yeah. Rudy's narrating voice, for the record.
I do. Yeah. I wonder who else he voices. But anyways, not, I don't know. Like I said, not, it's not like this was like a season three opener and it's kind of like, oh my God, like no. It's just a, it's like a handoff from the first part. So like it, I'm not going to be as tough on it, but
yeah, I get the vibe that they're trying to move the story along, right? Like they were talking about their future as a couple and then it was like, okay, well, Sylphie has like commitments. He wants to, you know, reunite with his family. There's still this, like, he's still researching the Mana disaster to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Also like we, you know, who's the red hair girl? Was it Eri?
Eri.
Like what's going to happen with her? And the his old crew, was it Rejard or something like that?
Yeah, oh, the
I hope we like see
the
him demon again.
Guy. I would yeah. love to see him again.
So I don't know. I'm, you know, I'm excited to see where all this goes. And obviously, like we got to see that. Was it the dragon god who fucked him up in season 1?
Oh yeah,
And yeah, so I'm excited to see like the overarching plot of the show, what direction it's going to head in. Especially now that we're in a new core and hopefully a new arc.
I'm not trying to get too excited because I do feel we have maybe one or two episodes left here. Because, you know, we still have to maybe iron out the direction.
Yeah.
And then probably the leaving episodes still too. So, but I don't know. I think maybe by episode 4 we'll be moving on.
Yeah, we got to quest and... agreed. We've probably got a couple weeks of setup and tying bows and whatnot. But we'll get to a new arc in no time, I'm sure. I hope, anyway.
Also, like, it's. If there's one thing, like the show consistently looks amazing, like it has not dipped. Has like its look, the second you the show kind of kicks in, you're just like, oh yeah, like fucking this looks awesome, like it has its very distinct grainy, like I really like that film grain kind of look.
I know
sometimes it's very cool.
The conversation very, very will cool. soon be we'll see how we feel at the end of the season mm-hmm. about which looks better, this or Free Run.
Apples and oranges, but yeah,
I know.
But
it's just funny because, like, what did you pitch to me on? Like, this show is like what Moshuko should have been. Was that how you got me to watch Free Run?
Yeah. I think I pitched it as like the things that you love
about
Mushoku Tensei. This is kind of like
right.
All of that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of accurate. Like, it's funny. Even in this episode, there's shit about Moshuku I just didn't like. Like, I just don't. Okay. I'm not gonna do this. I've shit on Mushoku enough.
To its credit, it unabashedly wears its, style on its sleeves. You know,
you like, are it does absolutely not right blink. About that.
So,
they're not trying to please everybody. But... that's true. They're not like they're telling the story they clearly want to tell.
Yep.
So, you know what? Good point. They you gotta give up some hispec for that. Okay. So... how about you? Give me a couple of the pilots that you watched that I have not seen.
Okay, so you watched Windbreaker, correct?
Yeah, and we are going to talk about that shortly, but I want to hear a couple first that
okay,
that
you saw. So, pardon me. Excuse me. Fuck, love, pop. Okay, so I'm just going to skip my whole thing for... so there's... I watched 8 shows, including Windbreaker, but we'll talk about that. The two that, like, were on my list to watch, but just did nothing for me after the pilot. There's one called Mission Yozakura Family. It's on, again, this is on Disney Plus. I don't know. It's just like a colorful kind of very, like cool character designs or whatever. But it's like, trying to win the girl over. The older brother's trying to kill him. It's like a spy story. Was not my thing. There's another show called The Fable, which was like the Hitman show. A lot of people are comparing it to, like a manga and an anime that Leanne and I really like, Way of the House Husband. Not the same. I don't know. It honestly, I'm going to be straight up. It looked like dog shit. Like, really bad. So, and, like, nothing about it kind of even spoke to me. Like,
in its
to
pilot?
Kind of win me over. In this pilot. Yeah, I just don't.
Damn, that's a tough L.
So, also Disney Plus show. So, those are the ones. One that I was going to put on this list, but I want to keep going, is a show called Spice and Wolf.
I've heard you talk about that.
This is a so the only reason I'm going to stick with it is because the original anime is very highly... not like oversold, I think, but like I've never seen a bad thing about it. It wasn't so the original run was in 2008, 2009. It's a romance set in like I'm so bad with like what period, maybe like Vinland Saga era esque, like that time period.
Would you say medieval?
Yeah, I guess medieval would be a good way for that Renaissance, but like a traveling merchant, and there's this whole myth around this town about there is a wolf god that, you know, they, you know, they pray to, and it, you know, depending on if they pray enough, like the wheat comes in better that year, that kind of thing. And
I've been known by many names.
Sorry. But I don't know, like, it was interesting. Again, like, it looks okay, and, you know, there's clearly very good chemistry between the main characters. I don't have too much to say on that yet, but...
But you do intend to keep watching Spice and Wolf.
Just because, like, again, like, I've never, ever seen a bad thing spoken about it. And, like, it is heavily lauded, you know? Like, it's like, one of the classic modern, like, romance stories in anime.
I know what that's so, like. I'm also very heavily lauded.
There you go.
Sorry. Keep going.
But, so anyways, I don't know. I'm gonna stick with it. But, a show that I... This I'm just going to straight up, this was my premiere of the season.
Here we go. Far. What is it?
Dave, the show, it's called Astro Note.
Interesting.
I didn't know the show existed. I just saw a blurb about it on Twitter, like a random, is it not even someone I follow, it was like a recommended post kind of thing. And
it Wait, looked, Grant, did you see it advertised by the Part-Time Otaku podcast, Instagram, Threads, or TikTok account? I hear we are very active on these platforms and our followers should check us out.
Please do.
Okay. It helps. Sorry. Just a little plug there. Keep going. Astro Note.
I took a look at it, and by looking at it, I was like, I don't know if this is like, it was like incredibly colorful, and like not a single character even remotely had like a similar design. It was like very, very like borderline gonzo, but felt like grounded, like just, you know, kind of, you know, blown up expressions and whatnot. And it's, you know, it's, I was like, oh, okay. I think it was a retweet from Mother's Basement. I was like, okay, well, if, you know, and I saw a blurb later from him saying, like, this show is awesome. So I jumped in.
Straight from the basement. It's got to be good.
Straight from the basement. Not anymore. Apparently moved to Tokyo. So that's pretty cool. So, yeah. Mother's Tokyo.
Okay.
Apartment. But anyways. Yeah. Dave, so if I could explain the character design, and I looked at it, I'm like, this reminds me of, like, those 70s and 80s anime, like, you know, like stuff like Speed Racer or like Astro Boy or Lupin the Third, like just like the very distinct 70s, 80s style.
Okay.
And I was like, it looks like such a throwback, but it's clearly modern. Like, it's a very, very well made show, beautiful colors. And like, I don't even know how to, like, the show is so fucking weird. It opens with like an intergalactic space battle.
Love a space
and
battle.
It's like very intense. Someone's getting away, and then just cuts to like we're back on Earth, and it's like not really explained. And a guy is showing up for like going to a job interview for a boarding house. They're looking for a cook, and you know, to cook, you know, for like a head chef or whatever for this place.
Yeah.
And it's just like this show is like in the pilot alone. It's like equal parts like food porn and physical comedy and slice of life and like in the space opera stuff. And there, by the end of the episode, there's like a mystery kind of wrapped around like this show.
It sounds hard to follow.
but Dave, like it's all those stuff. And at no point was I kind of like, what is going on? It was like very clear, very concrete. It's juggling a lot of hats, but it's wearing them all faithfully. Like it's, you know, like this is not a show where I'm like, Dave, you have to watch this. You know, I don't even think this is like a dead ringer for you. But it was such a unique pilot.
Interesting.
Or a first episode. Like, again, it's not akin to... I wouldn't say it's similar to Your Attorney, where, like, by the end of it, you're just kind of like, I had an experience, which both of us had, genuinely. You know, and, you know, the people we've recommended to have also felt that way. Like, I don't think that's this. But this show, like, this is, like, the perfect elevator pitch show. But, like, it fit all the things. Like, if the, you know, you would almost say, like, there's too much things they could fit. There's no way.
I was going to say, but what's the pitch? The pitch sounds like it's everything. It's everywhere.
It is everything. But by the end of the episode, you're like, oh, okay, I know where this is going. I think that person is up to no good. And I think this might be linked to that. And, oh, yeah, he is a cook and he's working in this boarding house and he's going to make food every day. And I feel like every episode we're going to see him whipping up some amazing dish and this and that. Like,
so it is a coherent pilot despite having a lot going on.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think the fact that it was coherent by the end of it, I was like scratching my head of like, how did they pull that off? And like, you know, great, like not like kind of like stinger out, you know, like leading into the next episode, kind of like the mystery kind of reveals itself to the end. You're like, oh, like this isn't, you know, this is like a sci-fi show, but like it's also like a grounded, you know, Earth story. And like, you know, there's no set time period. Like it feels modern. The usage of color is, it has a lot. It reminds me a lot of Bocchi the Rock in... I think because Bocce the Rock played a lot with animation styles and like kind of the goofs and the gaffs. Like it was very eclectic and experimental. And like this isn't like changing like the full animation style like Bocce the Rock did, where it would cut to like, you know, like paper mache style characters and like kind of playing the scene out. And it's not like a trippy, you know, TV static scene or like nothing like that. Like it stays within its realm. But, like, the character designs are so crisp and clean. I was like, who made the show? I looked this up. Dave, the studio that made this made the original Inspector Gadget cartoon. You know, like, they did all the Ghostbusters cartoon we grew up with. They were, like, wow. a for-hire studio from Japan. They're doing a ton of stuff that was being broadcasted over here. Like, you know, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and, like, the original DuckTales was done by them. Like, great, like, it was just, like, the history, like, I'll send you the link later of, like, the studio. And their filmography is, I was shocked by the end. I was like, I cannot believe I've never heard. And it's just like a for hire, like a run and gun studio. And this is just their original anime. I don't think they've done anything in a while. And they did do Lupin the Third. I was like, oh, so it makes sense. They have these like similar styles of stuff that I've seen before. But like, it just, it looks old school, but it's clearly like, you know, modern high definition, just very full screen. Dave, like, again, I urge you, you might not like it, you might not love it, but by the end of it, you can just say, like, very well done. Like, I just think it's an awesome first episode. It's by far, like, the thing I look forward to most this year.
Okay, but that was my next question is, like, is this the one that, like, really sticks out among the few that you're talking about?
It's number one, and I do have a number two, which I think would be more your bag.
I'm gonna try Astronaut just for the record, but
I think you should. Like,
it sounds interesting.
The first episode, like, it's I was just kind of blown away. I was like, by the end of it, I was like, what the fuck? Like, kudos. Yeah. Like, it just, they, you know, even if I just watched that one episode, like, the off chance to say I didn't like it, I don't think I would have regretted watching it, because it does its thing unabashedly. Because
it was a trip, like, either way. It sounds like, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. It's, you know, like, it kind of felt like, you know, it's funny, we were talking a lot about Black Mirror the other night. Like, they're weirdly contained. Like, I feel like if they had, like, an extra 5 minutes, they could have found a way to kind of just wrap this up into, like, one thing. Like, something just messed up could have happened at the end. It could have just been over. Like, a Twilight Zone episode or something like that. Like, it's just, but, like, there's clearly, like, a bigger arc and, you know, like just, and the anime, everything looks so beautiful. The backgrounds are so amazing. You know, like, there's a scene where she's the owner of this boarding house is kind of, like, taking the main character through, like, a tour of the building. And, you know, there's, like, a whole scene. And it's, like, a very grounded scene of, like, this is where we have, like, our stock. And the previous owner made all this homemade, like, soy sauce. And there's, like, a type of liquor down in the basement. He's kind of like, oh, whoa, this is, like, really good shit. Like, wow. Like, the guy was, like, a big foodie or whatever. Huh. And there's the whole thing of, like, this is the drawer. You know, it's, like, here's your budget for everyone's meals. And here's the key. Only you and I have the key. Like, it found ways to be super realistic and grounded. And there's just, like, this incredibly weird and eclectic, like, cast that, like, rent there and live there. And it's like a big family thing, you know? Like, I don't... Dave, it's... I was blown away. I've watched it twice.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You've
yeah,
sold
really, really good. Yeah.
What was the next one you said?
So
the next one is big, you said. More of a Dave show?
More of a Dave show. And it, like I said, I have... It was the one where I saw on Crunchyroll. I hadn't heard of it, but I saw it in, like,
By the way, is Astronaut also on Crunchyroll?
It is, yeah. All these shows, with the exception of that Go-Go Loser Ranger, which is on Disney Plus, all of these are on... and then the first two I mentioned are on
The Fable and Mission... What was it?
Yozakura Family.
Yozakura Family, yeah.
That's on Disney Plus as well. And then so is the Loser Ranger. But so the next show, Train to the End of the World.
Okay.
I hadn't heard any, like, I hadn't seen anything about it, but it was in the list of, like, the, you know, spring 2024 simulcast or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay. And cause, you know, because we had such a nice experience with Corinne, with Freerun, I was like, oh, maybe we can find this new seasonal show and we can all watch it together. And, you know, again, you can't always trust it, but on, you know, there was, you know, four girls on the cover. I was like, oh, maybe this is like a middle-aged schooler journey story. Cause it clearly in, like, when you click on it, it's like a post-apocalyptic story. Like, it just, you know, like, dystopian story. I'm like, oh, okay, this is, you know, could be something. You know, we'll see. Okay. I'll watch the pilot. By the end of it, I was like, definitely not. Like, I cannot show my child this. But like, it doesn't... So anyway, so this is one I am not going to get into details because I do highly recommend this.
Ooh.
because I have never seen a cold open this explosive in my life.
We love cold opens. We want them frigid.
Dave, there's parts of this that, you know, coincidentally will remind you of Astronaut, like, especially in the first, like, 2-3 minutes, the usage of color, okay. And kind of, like, just the expressiveness of a certain scene. All I can say is, like, they dial into, like, 7G ruins, you know, kind of ruins things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the newest iteration of Wi-Fi or, you know, wireless services.
Uh-huh.
Anyways.
Interesting.
But it's like a post-apocalyptic story. There's, like, these group of girls, and long story short, you know, their friend is somehow involved in the original incident. They haven't seen, there was a big fight between one of the girls in the main four, and then this one that was like away for school or something. And they have to go on a journey to go find her. Dave, the reason I think you'll like this show is because it's not quite like a sci-fi story similar to Heavenly Delusion, but the world feels almost the same. Where the world has become twisted by certain events.
Yeah.
And nothing is just, like, inherently, like, you know, it almost feels like a normal world post, like, an explosion or some event or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's just this, like, gonzo, like, oh, like, nothing is the same anymore. Like, almost like there's more, like, a mutation to the world.
Yeah.
It's kind of like parts To Your Eternity and Heavenly Delusion. Or not To Your Eternity, sorry. The Promised Neverland.
Okay.
I kind of get vibes of that. Like, there's a mystery. The kids are involved. And, you know, by the end of the episode, I was like, oh, this is going to get incredibly fucking dark probably quick. Like a turn of a dime. Like, it kind of has, like, this... They throw in a lot of comedy is interjected. And there's, like, clearly some of these girls don't really get along. But, you know, without spoiling it, like, they're the only kids left in the village they're in.
Yeah.
And they're kind of, like, surrounded by people that were more affected than them. There's a thing where once they get to a certain age, like, their innocence is, like, literally kind of taken away from them. And, like, it's nothing greasy or kind of, like, you know, too fan service-y. There's a couple, like, random weird moments of, like, fuck the Japanese, like, love doing this kind of thing. But,
yeah.
But I don't know, like, it's, again, I know I pushed Windbreaker on you, and I think Astronaut for sure is, like, a one-watch. But I do think there's, by the end of the episode, it's like, what is going to happen next? You know, yeah. Like, I'm curious to see what the second episode follow-up is going to be, if they can match, again, because the cold open is so, like, big and loud and kind of like, holy cow, like, you know, they really did something there. And the post-event aftermath, the way they set up was really, really cool. The one gripe I had with it, and I think this might just be an episode one problem, is
pilots are hard.
I think there was just a little too much they had to fit in. Mm. And there was moments that felt like literally sped up. Like the conversations, like, were way too quick.
We're on fast forward mode to save, to get
it
through it.
It seriously felt like that. At three specific instances, I noticed that. I was like, oh, like, they really wanted to get that out, you know, to get, make that 23 minute mark. But I don't know. I'm really, really curious what the second, actually, I think this is the only show now that has a second episode out. Like, came out a week prior. But, yeah, man, it's beautiful, beautiful backgrounds. Like, you know, very, again, it screams Heavenly Delusion. But, yeah.
Okay.
Train to the End of the World. Again, total, like, not even remotely on my radar. I was just like, oh, I need something else to watch. Like, I want to, you know, fill up this list a bit.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, holy shit. Like, Astronaut was definitely, like, the one that was like, holy cow, like, I am so in for this show.
Yeah.
And this one too, this one could let me down, you know. I think there was I saw a lot of stuff written online about Train. There's, you know, there's that show Wonder Egg Priority a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I heard it was huge, and then they botched the ending or something.
They botched the ending. I believe there's a couple key people from that. This is, like, their new show. It's another original story. So people are kind of like, oh, like, you know, are we going to have, like, an awesome journey? And it's kind of just blow up in our face at the end. But this is another one I highly recommend. Just check the pilot out at the very least. Like, watch the cold open and just kind of how they handle what happens. But
sure. It sounds, yeah. You know, just based off of, like, where you're coming from, I think I'll probably check out both. I'll check out Astronaut and Train to the End of the World.
Yeah.
Just out of sheer curiosity. You've had a lot to say about both. So it's interesting. Does that bring us to Windbreaker?
We can break it up. We can do Windbreaker. I have a couple more to talk about, but we can do Windbreaker now.
Yeah, sure.
You need to get some time in there. I feel like I'm holding the mic.
No. So what I guess I like it. I liked it more than Tokyo Revengers. Let me put it that way.
Well, yeah, it's a given.
No, but I just mean, like, it's... Like, is there a term for this? Is there a genre delinquent? That just... Yeah, it's like, can you say the delinquent genre in anime and people will know what you're talking about?
It's a whole genre. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
the fighting delinquents or whatever. Yeah. Gangs. Yeah, yeah.
So, I think it does that better than Tokyo Revengers did. Though that doesn't say much. I do think, I will say, I filmed a TikTok for this earlier today, so I had my thoughts somewhat aligned for Windbreaker, just based off the pilot. And I think that they set up the world building way more effectively. Mm-hmm. I think the actual world itself is, like, much nicer looking. It's, like, a very bright show, really vivid colors.
So, Cloverworks made this one.
I know, I saw that.
Their backgrounds are my all-time favorite. Event like any studio, they really fill the world in. It's funny because they work on Spy Family, and that's one of my biggest gripes about that show.
Oh, that's funny.
Is it looks the, you know, I think there's too much focus on the characters versus like everything around them, but I digress.
And then you had called out specifically the fight choreography. You're like, oh, you might enjoy this, and so I did. There's like a couple brawls in the pilot, and the fight choreography is super impressive.
The one at the end was especially good, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really, really curious to hear, like, or to see. Because, you know, like, if the whole point of the show is, like, delinquent, like, fighting, hostile takeover, gang wars, then, like, you should assume that, like, conflict and fights are going to be a big part of the show. And if you make that assumption, then it's like, yeah, they should try and do something creative and do something new. And I think they definitely did that. I'm really curious to see if they keep it up the entire season. But I don't know if I'll be around for it, like...
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just not sure if I'll watch more. I think you know how we talk about show don't tell and like how you know Neon Genesis, Heavenly Delusion, a lot of shows like that were good for like just showing you stuff and you kind of have to be the intelligent audience member that they're assuming you are to like connect the dots.
Yeah.
This is probably just a symptom of being a pilot and like I'll cut them some slack, but like there was just so much talking about why the protagonist feels the way he does, where he comes from, the world they're in, how it works. It's like, holy shit, I get it. Like, and it's like just so many words just to basically say I'm a basic anime protagonist is like, it sometimes feel a little derivative.
Yeah.
And that's maybe a bigger problem with like anime in general, and I'm putting that on Windbreaker. It's just like sometimes... You know, the fights felt different and unique, which is great, but like the character didn't.
Sure,
but you know maybe that's like being a little too critical. Like it's just a show, it's just an anime. At the end of the day, maybe I should ease up on them a little bit. I'll probably watch at least one more and then see how I feel. What about you?
Well, so the interesting thing, this was like it's weird to say this is like my least anticipated show and like I still watch it kind of thing, but I found the marketing for this to be incredibly peculiar. Like the trailers and kind of the stills, like it was really I found it to be like a little edgy and too cool. Was kind of like the stills and the little vignettes or the previews. I was like this kind of looks fucking lame, and I was like you know but like again I was like whatever like you know I gotta watch it, and then like the Cloverworks thing came up and I was like oh that's interesting. I was like I missed that detail in the marketing. Like you feel like that would have been, you know, like they're a huge studio, right? Like they're especially now they've had a couple of really huge shows the past few years. And I was like, okay, a little bit of slack. And then you get into it and, you know, it's funny because it fits in this nice middle. There's been a lot of delinquent shows the past couple of years. I know they were big years ago, but like we had Tokyo Revengers and then Butchigiri came out last season, which is still probably one of the best shows this year so far. An amazing show, but that was more, Butchigiri's more... there's like a bit like a superpower feeling to it. Like there's like, you know, the genies and kind of like the, you know, the honky people and kind of like the, it's not grounded. Like it's very silly and it's very almost like parallel world to ours. Like it's grounded, but not, it's hard to explain. I think you would like that much more. Also, it's just, the action is just, again, very similar. Like, you know, it's a MAPPA original, you know.
I remember talking about Butchigiri. I can't remember why I didn't try the pilot.
You should. It's funny. It would be funny because you just watched this one. If you watch Butchigiri, which is totally different, and credit one of the more unique main characters. Like it's like an archetype we've seen before. Like kind of like the love struck, kind of scrawny, character, but like he doesn't want to fight. He's like not a fighter. I think he's kind of like embarrassed, you know, based on previous stuff in his life. He doesn't, you know, but everyone around him is so obsessed with like fighting and proving themselves. And he's like, I'm in love with this girl and I want to show my, you know, and like just kind of like his, there's this whole thing where his hobby is he makes these stones. This is turning into Buchigiri conversation, but I just think it's such a superior show. And it's not fair. Windbreakers had one episode, but Tokyo Revengers had its due. And I understand, like, there was the gang thing, but it was more like the mystery and the time travel and all that. Like, they're all very different in their own way. This is kind of the middle ground. It is kind of nice to see a show that is, like, there's no supernatural elements. There's no sci-fi story. It's just kind of people being people. Like, there's still, like, the weird scenario where there's, like, a teenage gang running the streets, like, fighting off other delinquents and protecting the shopping neighborhood, but... I don't know, it's kind of refreshing so far for me, like, going from one to the other, from Buchigiri to this. But, like, I've started rewatching Buchigiri, because it's so good. A, the friggin' music in it is phenomenal. The world they built is amazing. The blend of, like, the Arabic and the Chinese and the Japanese cultures. Again, another show I've never seen anything like that, where it's not, like, so solely dedicated on, like, Japanese culture. It really makes an effort to incorporate a lot of stuff, and it nails everything. In that regard. I think Windbreaker is good. Like, I do agree, you know, like, the fighting was good and the choreography was really good. I just don't want it to be, like, the same thing. Like, are we going to see the same kind of fights over and over and over? And the main character didn't really do anything for me, like, similar to you, because it was just a lot of, like, you know, I'm sure there's going to be that episode we find out what actually happened to him and, you know, he's going to overcome it. But, like, I don't know, like, the gang that he kind of meets, they kind of look cool. And I'm sure they're going to have all the different archetypes there. Like, I think this will be, like, a good, like, shut my brain off show, but I'm still going to watch it actively. You know, right. I don't think I'm not going to be on my phone, which I very rarely do, obviously, because I don't speak Japanese. But I don't know. I think I'm a little won over because I was kind of so not into, like, what I saw prior to, like, the pilot. Like, again, the marketing really did no favors, in my opinion. And it was, like, heavily pushed. I was seeing it everywhere. And then just kind of, like, total, I was like, oh, that's not the show that they were pushing, like, at all. So, but, yeah, I don't know.
Interesting. Okay, so a bit of a Fight Club situation, perhaps.
Yeah. I don't know, Windbreaker. It's, also, I didn't really, I thought the show was Windbreaker because, like, the jacket he was wearing.
Yeah, same.
And it's, like, split up in two words. It's wind and breaker.
Yeah, I know. That caused me a significant amount of confusion when I was looking into it today.
Yeah, just odd. When it was cleared up in the episode, I was like, oh, that makes way more sense.
It does. You have any pilots left that you want to cover?
Yeah, I have two more. I'll get through pretty quick. So I watched that Go-Go Loser Ranger.
That was, like, a bit, like, widely anticipated.
Very anticipated. Was definitely underwhelmed at first. There was... That, you know how sometimes when a show, like, it's revealing all this stuff and, like, kind of, I think it's more of a Disney Plus problem because their subtitles are atrocious and they're bigger and they were blocking out other, like, built-in translations on the screen the show was providing. Mm. Like, it was, like, you know, it's built into, like, the production or whatever. And so there's, like, a lot of, like, a couple of details missed. And then, I don't know, to keep it short, by, like, the halfway point of the episode, when you finally get, like, the main character's point of view, it kind of like, oh, okay, like, I think I know where this show is going. The thing is, by the end of the episode, there's a lot of things they do that the boys has already done.
Oh, okay. You
know, where, like, you know, we're in a world where, like, the good guys are kind of pieces of shit and the real bad guys and, you know, the bad guys aren't so bad and they're just trying to, you know, get through the day or whatever. Like, it's definitely, like, way less, like, morally gray, you know, as the boys is, but
I'm sure it's not as R-rated either.
No, definitely not. I think there's, like, there's a chance it could be, but, like, it's never going to, like, at worst, like, you know, maybe some death here and there. Like, I haven't seen, like, the real heel turn on the good guys, you know, quotes good guys yet. But it was interesting. It felt very Power Rangers. Like, you know, they kind of hit all the hallmarks of, like, you know, like the Sentai Warriors or whatever. But I was definitely a little underwhelmed. And I am just afraid that, like, I hope they're not going to try and have, like, these big moments of, like, oh, like, the boys has done this already. And it kind of just takes the air out of it a little bit. So, I was so looking forward to this show. And I'm going to keep watching it. But I definitely felt, like, a little apprehension by the end of it. Of, like, ugh, I think they not missed the mark. But, like, I think someone's already been here and kind of done it infinitely better already. We'll see. I don't know.
Okay.
Good to know. It's a fun one to watch. And also way more CG 3D animation than I was expecting.
Oh. Which, well, had you led jarring. With that, we could yeah, just a little jarring, move but, like, right over it.
They do a good job of, like, I think the bad rangers, like the, or, you know, like the colored rangers, like the, you know, red, green, yellow, and all that. They are very heavily CG'd 3D in moments, whereas like the dusters, who are like the bad guys, like the henchmen, are a little more, feel like a little more traditionally drawn, because like they go to their hideout and it's like away from the spectacle. And I don't know, it was it definitely like a 50-50 watch for me. And lastly, another show, this show's been like promoted for over a year. It's called Jellyfish Can't Swim in the Night. This is the only show that's on High Dive.
The titles, so, man. Yeah, I know. Anime titles are so funny sometimes.
I love it. So this is like, it's funny. I wrote in my notes, this episode is cinematography, the show. Very cool. Like, just what they do with the, it takes place at like Shibuya at night. And it's another like, you know, high school girls story where, you know, they're all artists. And by the end of the episode, like this new kind of art collective is formed between like, you know, like a singer songwriter and like a physical artist. And they're still like a very Bocchi the Rock-esque, you know, the kind of the girls coming together and making something. And I think the goal is to make like a multimedia project or whatever, but beautifully animated, excellent usage of color, like what they're doing with kind of, you know, moving from one scene into another, kind of like the fade in, fade out. It felt like a studio movie, like a high art indie movie. Very cool. And they kind of touch into like, you know, Oshinoko, those vibes of like what, you know, the, you know, like, and like Odd Taxi too, like they touch stuff like what social media can do to people and like, you know, how being an idol in Japan is not as, you know, chalked up as it can be. Like it's a lot of work and people turn on you quickly and just, you know, that kind of stuff. So the story is very straightforward, but I think what is going to be the highlight of the show by the end of the season is the visuals and the animation are like spectacular. Like it's, you know, definitely one of the best looking things I've seen this year, winter and spring. But the soundtrack is dynamite. Like very, like just, you know, kind of like, you know, slow moving beats in the background, and
that's cool.
The you know, like I've watched a couple shows now where like they animate, you know, Bocchi the Rock being the biggest one, the animation of instruments, you know, like I think we're finally past that point where there's like that uncanny valley is gone for the most part. Like, sure. You know, when you're watching the character, you know, strumming away on like an acoustic guitar, but there's a performance on a guitar at the end of the episode. It was like, oh, I think we're like a year or two away from like this looking completely normal. It looked really, really good.
That's good.
And I'm not sure the studio that's doing this, but like I said, I think the story is very straightforward. It seems very nice, you know, bonds and friendship and, you know.
Where does it rank in this kind of this giant pilot review you've done? In the giant pilot,
it's 3, I would say.
Top 3?
Top 3, yeah. I would go Astronaut, Train, and then Jellyfish.
Astronaut, Train to the End of the World, yeah. Jellyfish Can't Swim in the Night.
Yeah.
Interesting. But, well, now I gotta ask you from a half glass full perspective, what's the bottom seed? What's number 8?
8?
Yeah.
I don't know, that Fable show was like dog shit.
Sorry. Really, eh?
Yeah, it was bad. And like, sorry, I don't know, like, yeah, I don't know. It wasn't even one that was like super, super high. Like I watched it because there was a lot of comparisons to Way of the House Husband. And I think that's an unfair comparison. I think they are apples and oranges.
Oh, well, there you go.
Again, I know a lot of people complain about the animation of Way of the House Husband because it's very, like, picture book and kind of, you know, stills. But the manga is, like, dynamite. Like, you know, and even then, like, the vocal performance in House Husband and just kind of, like, the written jokes themselves are, like, hilarious. And the Fable did not do it for me. There's nothing wrong with the Mission Yozakura family show either. It's just not something I'm interested in at all. It felt I don't know. Like, no, I'm not going to say. I was going to say it felt like a little Saturday cartoonish, but it's not even that. It's just
nothing wrong with that.
Character designs didn't do anything for me.
It fell a little flat for you. That happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, like I said, Spice and Wolf is, I'm just waiting to see. I'm not really, I would even hold that off the list. But Windbreaker, I'm just anticipating, because Cloverworks, because they do a thing with motion, like the way they have their characters walk in a real world, like in My Dress Up Darling and shit, what was the last the show they did, or like Bocce the Rock, like the way they have the characters move, like they, it's uncanny how well they can pull that off now. Like someone walking down the street and it doesn't feel like, you know, one animation on top of another and they're kind of, you know, combined. Like it feels like one whole thing. When it comes to movement, they're really good, really, really good at movement.
Okay.
But, so again, Windbreaker, because it is like a, you know, like a shonen, you know, fist fighting delinquent story. I don't know if they're going to focus on stuff like that, but just seeing like their background work, I was like, you know, whether it's, you know, recurring members of the studio or if it's a whole different team, but like their consistency through line and their backgrounds. I love that about the studio. So, but yeah, I don't know. It was fun. Honestly, it was a really fun watch, all these shows. Like it kind of took away something good from everything for the most part.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You're able to find the good even amongst the bad. That's why you're a better man than I.
I'm straight up stressed. I'm like, there's going to be a lot of shows to watch because we have Demon Slayer soon. Kaiju number 8 starts this weekend.
I was going to say, on the Demon Slayer point, did you see the trailer?
No.
I haven't really gone Zero Dark Grant on it, just because, like, I don't know. But it looks solid. Like, I don't know how action-packed it's going to be.
I'll find a way to put it in there.
I hope so. I'm really curious, but I watched the trailer. I think it looks interesting, and I'm excited to watch it again. Especially, like, I saw, you know, as part of the promotional reel, they were putting out, like, you know, funnest moments of season 3. And I was like, oh yeah, like there were some fun moments in season 3. Mm-hmm. Despite it being like a slight dip. So I'm really excited to see what they do this season. What else were you saying? Yeah. Kaiju number 8?
Kaiju number 8. Really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Like I said, I got the first volume for Christmas. And
oh, nice.
It was a really good read. Like fun. I think there's like a good, like it's not like we're getting like a Godzilla story or anything like that, but it might be like, you know, I'm looking forward to the Monster of the Week, you know, kind of show. Like, we're, you know, I think that kind of the, I'm not sure because I haven't read ahead. I know Joey has read it and he really likes it. He said it's a really good show or a really good manga. And I think they could have some fun with like some big dumb monster fights. And
man, I really want to see that Godzilla Minus One movie.
It's apparently getting another run here in a month or two.
Okay. So we should try and see that.
Yeah. Apparently apparently the rerun is going to be the black and white version, which I think would be a fun way to see that.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to see it either way. I don't really care.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there any other major news that I saw? Oh, maybe just a couple quick ones I'll give you. Sure. Joker 2 is like coming into their promo mode though.
yeah, I saw the first.
Put out a little teaser there today, and I think they're putting out a full length trailer tonight. But also, do you remember if Joker 1 was hard R rated?
Yeah, big time.
It was, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, well then I guess it's not a surprise that Joker 2 is also hard R, rated. God, I'm excited for that movie.
I am very excited for that. I just...
Because it didn't feel like they would do another, did it? When they did that first movie? I think everybody had this like, oh, you know, it's Joaquin, he's artsy, he's not into the franchise thing...
I don't think this is just me piecing it together. I think there has been some like vocal explanations of it, you know, by the studio or people involved. I don't think this was going to happen if like this specific idea could not be done.
There was a specific story they wanted to tell and that was
not even a story. Like I think like there was like rumors of like, cause it's a musical, right?
Yeah. That's why they got the Gaga.
Yeah. I think that's like the whole kind of basis of it of like, we want to do something so out there. Hmm. We want to do this specific type of thing, and we're going to try and make it work. And I think that kind of gives it a little more credence. Because I had some problems with the first one. Like, I think, you know, I think it came at a really bad time, like, in kind of the state of the world. And I think a lot of people took some wrong messaging from that. But also, it is a straight-up, like, remake of Taxi Driver, but that's neither here nor there. We've already rehashed that out. But,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited. I love Lady Gaga. I think she'll crush it. She has shown she can act quite well.
Also, and he already got his Oscar, so it's kind of like, who gives a fuck? Like, we're here for bonus time. Let's tell a wacky fucking story.
He is like forever not given, you know. Like, so I'm just curious to see like the energy he's going to bring to this one. And
same,
but yeah,
oh, fuck. Curious to see how that goes. Only other news I saw that I think is worth sharing, despite me not watching it, but I do think it's interesting, is that Avatar The Last Airbender live action, they already said they're doing more, but they've swapped out showrunners already.
Already?
Yeah, for season two. So I'm curious to see what happens and how it's received and in what kind of time it comes out and all that. And it reminds me, because I think, you know, it's a big Netflix show. I still have a prediction out there somewhere, and my predictions aren't aging very well, because I did say Avatar 2 would tank. But I think the ones I have outstanding are, I don't know, what did I say about Witcher with the brother?
The Hemsworth. Yeah.
The Hemsworth. I either said... No, I think they said, I said they'll maybe make it to a season with him, but then it dies. Like, I don't think they do.
I might be wrong. I do believe you, because they've announced for seasons 4 and 5.
Fuck.
I think you might have said after 4, they're going to cancel 5.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's what you said.
I wonder if it'll depend, right? Like, if they put out 4 and 5 is, like, in pre or production, it's like, well, then you just make it. But if it was, like, a traditional... renew based off of performance, my bet was that they would not make it. But that's also just me just being like a negative Nancy and trying to defend Henry Cavill, because he's my boy. Oh, and speaking of Henry Cavill, my third prediction is that Superman Legacy will tank under James Gunn.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Remember that. That one I'm starting to feel less confident.
It's not Legacy anymore. So.
Yes, he changed the name, so that I think he gets another wind. So I don't know. Sorry to interrupt you with all that. Do we have anything else?
No, that's it. I worked hard on my premiere. That's all I got this week is...
Yeah, dude. I mean, yeah, is that it? You did 8 fucking shows. That's
I enjoyed it. Honestly, dude, I really enjoyed it. By the end of it, it was just one of those... Because there's been seasons before, I'm just like, oh, that's a stinker. I'm kind of glad there's only 2 out of this that I want to watch.
Yeah.
And there's... What is this? 1, 2, 3... 8. 4, 5, 6. There's 6 I'm for sure going to... watch.
You're an animal.
Yeah, well, Windbreaker, Loser Ranger, I might give it like 2 or 3, and then I'll come to it and I can watch those 3 in a row,
yeah,
just to kind of get like a better temperature read. And I am curious, because Train to the End of the World could just like fall apart, you know, that could just not be my thing after a couple episodes. But even in my notes, this, like, the show might be Dave bait. But,
it might be Dave Bain. That's funny.
But yeah, I don't know, man. It was fun. I'm fucking love anime.
I'm curious to hear if anything like ends up, you know,
and
being a bit of a surprise.
If you don't like Astronaut, do not blow me up. Don't just like
okay,
just
fine.
Take it and just be like Grant
quietly
my thing.
Be like it wasn't for me.
I see what you're saying. Just don't blow me up, dude.
Okay, all right. Dude.
I really liked it, and if you fucking hate it, it'll crush me.
That's funny. I appreciate it. You know what? That shows how close we are. If anything, it's like if you hate this thing that I love. Oh, God, dude. Sam hit me with that the other day. Yeah, I don't know if I want to blow her up like this. Well, it's too late. I will. Dude, we're like, this isn't even the other day. This is like a month ago, and I still think about it. Where I was showing her the video to Manchester's Orchestra, The Silence.
Okay, yeah.
Trying to not be like, you know, this is how I feel about everything in song form. I don't know if anything has impacted me more in my adult life than this song. I didn't say that up front. And it's a good thing I didn't, because in the back half, like, as it's like the climax of the song.
I can picture it. I can hear it in my head.
Because it's one of the best songs of all time. She goes, yeah, it doesn't seem like I'm not feeling it. She's like, I don't really see it doesn't go for me. I don't see it. And I was like, good. No, me neither. Let's just turn it off. Let's put something else on. I haven't recovered since, dude.
I remember, this is so funny because this is Manchester associated. I remember we were at a party one time. You may have been there, a basement party. And, you know, like early, you know, 20s age.
Yeah.
And I threw on Simple Math at the party, and across the room, it got the like, what the fuck is this? And like, I was like, it's only like the greatest song, and this band has changed me from the inside out. And like, no one wanted it at all. They're like, this is like, you know, stupid country butt rock.
This
like,
is the thing, is that Manchester is not party music.
No.
But
it's a rocky tune. It was like a good for a party basement.
It's like the thing, man. It's like what I told you, like it really blew me away. Seeing them and realizing like, oh right, like they are kind of like a rock band even still today, despite like how chilled out they've become, like they're still a rock band, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that's why they're fucking awesome. That's why we got to see them. Okay, all right. Well, we'll keep that in, you know, little bit of dad rock for you to close off the pod. Yeah. Okay, so if you take anything away from this, check out Manchester Orchestra and one of the 8 pilots Grant reviewed. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Music and Spotify. Follow us on socials, Part-Time Otaku Podcast, TikTok, Instagram, wherever you consume your social media content. And thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week. Grant, go ahead and say the thing.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.